day is a very important day. This is the day you will die. This is the day you will realize that you are dead. Last month in California, we opened the classes with that beautiful moment when Spirit said, "Why seek ye for the living among the dead?" And I did not know before coming there that that would even be revealed. And since then, that statement of Spirit here and now, the living Christ, "Why seek ye for the living among the dead?" That statement has haunted me. It keeps coming again and again as I sit down to meditate, as I'm driving my car, shopping in the store, walking, even sleeping. Spirit says, "Why seek ye for the living among the dead? And let the dead bury the dead. Come, follow me." And to that has been added a second inner realization. Now, we have all read or heard by now, God is omnipresence. And perhaps we've repeated that to ourselves, and maybe we've said it to ourselves before our meditation to help quiet our mind. God is omnipresence, all presence, the only presence. And we become quiet, receptive. But there is a much deeper principle that perhaps we've missed. God is omnipresence, everywhere, every bit of existence is the presence of God. Right where you stand or sit is only the presence of God. Now, what of the world mind, the carnal mind? What of these thoughts of supply and companionship and health, or the lack thereof? What about lack and limitation? These thoughts, we are told, are a part of the world mind, a part of mortal mind. Constantly moving past us and maybe in us. This mortal mind, who does it belong to? Well, you might say it belongs to the mortal. The mortal has a mortal mind. Okay, I follow you. I understand. My question is, this mortal with the mortal mind, where is he? Where is she? God is omnipresence, all presence, the only presence. Where is the mortal? Who is having these thoughts? The answer? No one. No one. God is omniscience, all mind, all knowing, all knowing. Who is knowing lack, limitation, or even the good of mortal existence? And the answer, no one. Why seek ye for the living among no one? Nothing. Mortality is a myth, like Pegasus, Zeus, Apollo, myths, stories told to explain something not understood. Your mortal existence is a myth. Something else that has haunted me, has played into this, intermingled with this. I remember Christ sitting by the well. If thou knewest who I am, and asked me, I would have given you a water, a wellspring of water, springing up into everlasting life. I became very interested in that word, everlasting. Because, you see, many of us, have thought that eternal life, everlasting life, for coming to Christ means that, well, I'll live forever, somewhere, maybe not here on earth, but perhaps in another dimension, maybe in heaven. Now, you know, subconsciously, you've had similar thoughts. Many of you have, anyway. Yes, once I recognize my Christhood, I'll live forever. From this point forward, forever. And so I looked up that word, everlasting, and I went to the original Greek. And do you know what it means, really? As Christ spoke it? Everlasting life is that which always was, always is, and always will be. That life is everlasting life, which means omnipresence, everywhere, every when. And so Christ says, I will give you the life that always was, always is, and always shall be. And all that you must do is die. Paul, with his statement that we must put off mortality, we must die to all that is mortal. In order to receive this everlasting life, which always was, always is, always shall be in the midst of us. So you see, who is having this mortal life? Goals, sometimes experiences of good, sometimes experiences of evil, thoughts of good health or thoughts of sickness, thoughts of career opportunities or thoughts of limitation, thoughts of such a dear friend, such a wonderful companion, or thoughts of an enemy, a person just tolerated. Who is having this experience? Who is this mortal? This John, this Bill, this Tim, this Sue, this Mary, this Martha? Who is this mortal? answer? No one. Why seek you for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. The life that always was, always is, and always shall be, is the only life present right here and right now. Now John, our good friend John, was well aware of this. And he says in his way, in the beginning was the Word, or the everlasting life. And the Word was God, the only presence. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. God is the only presence, the only power, the only mind, the only life. I, that everlasting life, am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. Who is this mortal? Who is having these thoughts of lack and limitation and pain? Who is having these thoughts of abundance and good health and great friends? Who is having this life? No one. Where are these thoughts taking place? Nowhere. Nowhere. And John knew it. And he explains to us that the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. But as many, whoever has the capacity to lay down the mortal sense of existence and accept the everlasting life, to them, God gives power and presence to become the everlasting manifestation of God's presence. And now you are no longer born of blood, or the will of the flesh, or the will of man. Now you are no longer mortal, because you never were. Now you are born of God. And in your recognition, in your witnessing that everlasting life, then the Word, the life that always was, always is, and always shall be, is made flesh before your very eyes. It dwells among you, and you behold, you are a beholder of that everlasting life and His glory, the glory of the only life of the Father, full of grace and truth. We have God, omnipresence, the only presence, the everlasting life that always was, always is, and always shall be manifested and that life is omnipresent. Who then is mortal? No one. Who has these thoughts? Where is the mortal mind? Who has a carnal mind? No one. No one. Our good friend Paul says we must be quickened. Quickened. I love that word, quickened. I looked that one up too. And it means infused with life, with everlasting life. Yes, Paul knew. He knew. There are many references in the Bible to the dead and the quick. Who are the dead? Well, let the dead bury the dead, says Christ. You become one of the quick. And so the dead is any mortal existence. Since mortality is a myth, then it's dead. It's dead. Who is mortal? No one. The hour is coming, and now is, when all who are in the graves shall hear my voice and come forth unto everlasting life. Ah, now it makes sense. If you are living in a sense of existence that's human, with a human mind, you are dead. You are no one. I am the resurrection, says Christ. But Christ also says, I am the resurrected. The mortal, which has no existence, did you think that would be resurrected into life eternal? No. It is Christ that is resurrected. It is the everlasting life that comes forth. The mortal stays in the grave. The mortal can't get out of the grave because the mortal is the grave. The mortal is the tomb. There is no mortal. He is not here. He is risen. Why seek you for the living among the dead? Infinite, everlasting life. The life that was, the life that is, the life that always shall be, is omnipresence. We know, we have been told, Joel has told us, Herb has told us, over and over again. Understand fully belief, hypnotism, suggestion is the fabric, the substance of the whole mortal universe. Human conditions of good and evil are dreams and have no reality. You can't make it any plainer than that. Where is the mortal? Who is having a mortal life existence? Who is having these mortal thoughts? No one. No one. And so, there's another universe. And it's a universe of spirit. There's another life, and it's an everlasting life. And it is real and permanent. And the substance of this is everlasting, eternal consciousness. And your first glimpse of this everlasting life will come when you realize that all mortal conditions are hypnotism, nothingness, and the mortal life you thought you were living belongs to no one. The experience at first, we are told, is like watching the mortal existence disappear over a horizon and drop down from before us. There is a sense of, I cannot speak of it yet. Mortal existence. What is that mortal existence? Have you looked at that? Well, I was born on this day, in this year, in this town, in this country, on this planet. And now I have lived lo these many years. I have gone here, I have accomplished that, I have saved this, I have built that, I have had this relationship, but that one failed. This one was a success, and that one is mediocre. I have this body, I have these working parts of this body. And today they're working pretty well. But last week I had caught a virus and I was down for a few days. I am working on spiritual principles so that my life, my mortal life, may be harmonious. And so that I may know God. Well, I have so many children. I have aunts and uncles and grandparents and parents, cousins. I love my spouse, my children, and if I have lived many years, my grandchildren, or even my great-grandchildren. That entire existence, all of it, is mortality and must be realized to be a dream. And now you must go a step further than that, for you see, you must die. You must ask, who is having this dream? God is omnipresence, the life that always was, always is, and always shall be. There is no second life. I am the life. Who is having this mortal existence? No one. There is not a spiritual universe and a material world. What appears as our world, what appears as a mortal existence, what is really there, is the Word made flesh, Spirit made visible, or the everlasting life. All the error that has been that has existed down through the ages is founded on the belief of two worlds. One, the heavenly kingdom, or spiritual existence, and the other, a material or mortal world, a mortal existence. In spite of the sense of two, men have always attempted to bring harmony into the discords of mortal existence through prayer, through contacting the spiritual realm. They have tried to bring spirit to bear upon mortal existence. Let us, says Joel, says Christ through him, let us begin with the understanding that the world is not erroneous. Really live is the realm of reality. The life which we really have is life everlasting, about which man entertains a false concept. And so you see, he asks and suggests that eventually we are led to the great revelation that mortals only put on immortality as mortality disappears. You do not add immortal spiritual harmony to mortality. God does not create, nor does He control material affairs. The mortal cannot receive the things of God. Only the spirit can. That's pretty plain, don't you think? And so, the mortal cannot put on mortality. The mortal must die. If you are living in a mortal existence, then I say unto you with all the authority of Christ, you are dead. Why seek ye for the living? Or why seek ye to add the living unto the dead? Why seek ye to add the living unto the dead? Who is this mortal with a human name? No one. Nothing. Where is this mortal? Nowhere. Come and follow me, for I give unto you the life that always was, always is, and always shall be. I give you everlasting life of the Father. And finally, just one or two words from our brother Paul. For they that are after the flesh, after mortality, are interested in the things of mortality. But they that are after the Spirit, the everlasting life, are interested in the things of the Spirit. They that are living in mortality cannot please God. But you are no longer in mortality. You are in the Spirit. If so be that this everlasting life dwell in you. Because the Spirit, the everlasting life, that raised up Jesus from the dead into the quick, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken you. As many as are led by and have received the everlasting life of God, these are the sons of God, or the manifestation of God. And that everlasting life beareth witness that we are the children of God. And as children, we are heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. All right. Again. God is omnipresence, everlasting life, in your meditation, consciously lay down any mortal existence. Your belief in a mortal existence, her belief in a mortal existence, his belief in a mortal existence. These are the dead. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye to add the living unto the dead? Let the dead bury the dead. Cease ye from mortal existence, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Cease ye from that existence. That is the instruction. Cease ye. And in your meditation is the place to start. God is omnipresence. Who has this mortal existence appearing to me? Who is having these thoughts, these mortal thoughts? Answer: no one. I am the life that always was, the life that always is, the life that always shall be. Everlasting life is my name. Behold, I make all things new. I make them in the image and likeness of the Father. I and the Father are one. God, omnipresence, manifesting. Behold the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. This everlasting life I am. Is there another life? I know not any. I am the life. I am the only life. I am everlasting life. Step out of the dead and be quickened. Feel that everlasting life quickening. Be risen. Be risen. It is I, everlasting life, Have no fear. I have come. I have come. My peace I give unto you, not unto a mortal, unto you the everlasting life. My peace quickeneth your being. Stand still. Behold, I quickeneth. Have I been so long a time in your midst? And you have not known me. Existence, for it is no one, and in that still place, behold, I rush in, I fill you full of life, everlasting life. It is the Father's pleasure to give you everlasting life. If you will die today and receive your everlasting life, you will behold His glory, the only life of the Father, full of grace, full of truth, God itself manifest as your living presence. Feel this everlasting life. Rest in it. Rest in I. That's all. Rest in I. Lay down a mortal sense, for it is nothing. Lean back, rest, feel the everlasting life. Just watch. Just rest. Just witness what I can do. Just witness what I am. Just hear be still and know I, your everlasting life, am God. If you carry this out in practice and have these periods of meditation, I tell you, for a while you may be uncomfortable. One foot in a sense of mortal existence and the other foot in that everlasting life which always was, always is, and always will be. Alpha and Omega, I am. But Joel has made the step across into the invisible everlasting life. Herb has made the step across. John stepped across. Paul stepped across. Peter stepped across. Siddhartha, Lao Tzu, they stepped across. Krishna stepped across. Rumi, he stepped across. Magdalene, she stepped across. Mary stepped across. Why not you? Why not you come out of the grave? Why not? Why not die today and stand so still from any sense or any attempt at a mortal existence that I, everlasting life, flow forth as your being. And now, to the mortal existence which never was, you must say, stop. And I behold the Father flowing forth as the everlasting life, full of grace and truth. I am. This you must do. No one can do it for you. This is an experience and a step you take alone with God. If thou knowest who I am, you have only to ask by laying down mortality, and I will give you everlasting life. Father, you have said as many as will ask it, as many as will receive that everlasting life, you will make your sons. You will make your own manifestation. Let these that ask it receive that Holy Spirit, the life that was and is and always shall be. Amen.